Good morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. The time is 5 minutes after 9 a.m., September 6th, 2012, 30 days prior to the chairman's birthday, by the way. I'm joined by co-chair, well, I'm not joined by my co-chair today. Senator Olson's here, Senator Thomas and Senator Egan, and myself, Senator Stedman, so we do have a quorum. We have two bills on the agenda today, House Bill 136, Income Tax Credit for Employing a Veteran, and then Senate Bill 158, Real Estate Sales Licenses. So we're going to start with Senate Bill 136 by Senator Wilkowski regarding income tax credits for employing a veteran. This is the first hearing on the bill today. My intent is to have the bill sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. And we are joined today by Senator Wilkowski. If he can go ahead and introduce himself for the record, who he represents, and then speak to the bill. And if he needs help, he has one of his trustee aides I see with him.
Thanks.
Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bill Wilkowski. I'm a state senator representing Northeast Anchorage. And here with me is Kendra Klosser from my office. This is a simple bill. It provides an income tax credit for employing a veteran. The tax credit would be $2,000 for each veteran hired who works at least 1,560 hours within a 12-month period, or approximately 30 hours per week. In June 2011, according to the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics, there were 1 million U.S. veterans unemployed, and the jobless rate for post-9/11 veterans was 13.3%. For young male veterans, the unemployment rate was 21.9%. And here in Alaska, we have a unemployment rate for veterans that's a little bit higher than 1 percentage point higher than the average. So this bill stems from a town hall meeting that we had, the Veterans Summit that was organized by the Veterans Caucus, held in Fairbanks this past year. Probably the number one issue that we've heard, or that I've heard, is the issue of trying to figure out ways to get veterans reintegrated into the employment scene once they come back from touring, or just veterans in general, just trying to find them work. As you all know, we have the highest percentage of veterans in the United States, and we think this is a win-win situation. It's got a I know of no opposition to the bill at this point. And I'll stop right there, Mr. Chairman, and happy to answer any questions.
Could you maybe initially give us a kind of a rundown on credit availability? I mean, does this count for recently released, or I should say released, but members of the military that have just recently vacated that and moved into civilian life, or does this reach back to veterans from the Korean War, or who qualifies for this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The way the bill is currently written, it would apply to any veteran. But in going back and looking at some of the way other states handle this and the way the federal government handles it, it probably would be better as a more narrowly tailored bill. And my staff, I know, has discussed this with your staff and made that suggestion. The United States government, for instance, has a tax credit of, I believe, $2,400 for veterans who have been unemployed for 4 weeks or more. Other states have tax credits for unemployed veterans who have a period of unemployment of a certain amount of time, or for vets returning from the Gulf War or later. So we would certainly be open to limiting it in scope. It probably doesn't make sense in retrospect to have this apply to veterans who've been gainfully employed for decades. And so the goal of this is to try to get unemployed veterans to work. And so we would not be averse to modifying it in that way at all, Mr. Chair.
And then another question, initial question would be, is for the veteran that's, say, currently employed, gainfully employed at Company X, and Company Y wants to raid them, hire them away for whatever reason, would this tax credit then be available for the new company to rob a existing employee from another company?
Mr. Chairman, the way it's currently written, if you hire a new veteran and you hire them for 1,560 years, then for 12 consecutive months, then you would be, that new company would be eligible. And again, that's another good reason why it probably makes sense to tailor it in some fashion. Either you have a 4-week unemployment period, or you tailor it to newly separated veterans.
And then what's your thoughts on some kind of a, if we were to put sideboards on this particular piece of legislation, and if you want to think about it for a while, that's fine, but I'm kind of interested in, you know, what kind of sideboards you might be thinking about if we did put them on there, so we can't reach, you know, conceivably this could reach all the way back to World War II veterans.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, excellent point. The more I've thought about this bill, the more I think the federal approach is a very good approach. It says, I mean, and there's two ways we could incorporate two different things, but one approach to think about is to simply say, you've got to be a veteran's got to be unemployed for 4 weeks, because that's really what this is tailored towards, trying to get veterans who have been unemployed, get them gainfully employed. And if you wanted to add another sideboard to that, the real problem appears to be from the research, newly separated veterans coming back from either the Iraq war or Afghanistan war. So we could limit it to a time frame there as well. I think we would be supportive of those changes.
Okay, Senator Thomas, you have a question?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your bill, Senator Relikowski. And I just wondered if during your thought process of the bill, you considered the seasonal employment. Alaska has a lot of seasonal employment, and I realize that makes it more difficult because we're all concerned, and I'm not saying this was one of your concerns when you built it, but, you know, residents. So obviously seasonal employment, there are a lot of people that are non-residents involved in that, but there are a lot of industries, the tourism industry, construction industry, fishing industry, that have a lot of seasonal people. And if there was if that was something you considered, or something that you did consider and thought was a bad idea, or would at least entertain in the future?
Mr. Senator Thomas, through the chair, we started to consider it when I heard that this was a suggestion of yours, and I think it's a good idea. We didn't originally consider it when we were drafting the bill, but I think there's definitely some merit to it. We have a huge seasonal employment sector, as you know, so we would certainly be open to that. And I think your suggestion was $1,000 for a seasonal employee, a smaller amount, and I'd be open to that if the committee sees that as something, a direction they'd like to go.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other initial questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Relikowski, as I looked through your packet and you've got the comparison to other states, how many other states give benefits, and how do we stack? How would this bill stack up with what they're doing?
I'm going to defer that question to my staff. Kendra, if you could put yourself on the record, Kendra.
Kendra Kloster, staff to Senator Relikowski. In your packet, there are a number of states that we have looked at, Vermont, California, Illinois, and West Virginia, that I know have similar types of tax credits. But as Senator Relikowski stated, a lot of them have different sideboards to them. For instance, California has left military service within 48 months. So those are the things that we had looked at, and as we go on further in this bill.
Mr. Chairman, if I can continue.
Right forward.
As you looked at these programs with the other states, how successful have they been, realizing that those states probably have a higher unemployment than we have up here in Alaska, and we're not obviously suffering the economic difficulties that they're going through now? How effective, my basic question is, how effective have these programs been for hiring veterans?
And Senator Olson, through the chair, I'm more than happy to look into that question. That's something that has come up before, and I've been trying to track down some information and still in the process of trying to track that down. But when I find anything, I'll make sure to send it to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other initial questions? Seeing none, we have one zero fiscal note from the Department of Revenue, and I don't know why it's zero instead of indeterminate. Clearly, it'll impact the Treasury. But with that, we're going to move on now to the public testimony portion. We have one person in the off-net signed up. If you can keep your testimony, please, to about 3 minutes or so. We're going to give you a little more time today because we've got a light schedule here. But if you can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the bill, please. Calista Anderson, please.
Hi, yes, my name is Calista Anderson. And I represent Vets Helping Vets from Anchorage, Alaska. And I'm calling in about the Senate Bill 136.
Go ahead and start your testimony, please.
Okay. I really hope that this this bill is passed. I think that this bill will help a lot of veterans as well as business owners. I know that we have a lot of veterans that is an abundance of veterans that's going to last us like no place I've ever seen before. That definitely could use a job and business owners that could use tax breaks such as this. But basically, just really for the veterans to help them get a job, giving an incentive for the business owners to hire them and help pull these veterans back up. I know I work with veterans every single day in our organization, and I have several that are that have been out of work for quite some time that are having a really hard time getting businesses to hire them for many different reasons. Some of the times they hire younger people, or they tell them they're overqualified, or things like that. And, you know, every day we push our veterans out to look for jobs, but they come back in with the same thing that they just cannot get hired.
Did we lose her? Okay, we're going to go to a brief at ease. Or at ease, if you can try to... We'll come back on the record. Sorry, we had some technical difficulties and lost you, Ms. Anderson. If you could pick your testimony back up again, please.
Okay. I was just saying, basically, that most of the veterans that I work with, you know, we try to push them out every day to look for jobs, but they have a really hard time with it. And passing this bill for businesses, knowing that they would get a tax break, I believe we bring in a lot more veterans that could be hired and could pick themselves back up, support themselves and their families, and, you know, just provide them with a lot more sense of pride and worth and well-being, and, you know, just empower them to go on and make their lives a lot better than what it is now. Of course, you know, sleeping on the street or wherever they can find a spot. You know, I mean, homeless and veterans should never come in the same sentence. And we should do everything that we can to get these veterans off the street, you know, whether it's providing a deal like this, you know, to these business owners, like I said, for incentives that basically, you know, want to hire these veterans and want to put them to work. Sometimes they just need that chance. I think that they've just been kicked down enough and turned away enough. You know, these veterans provide the freedom that, you know, we have today. It's the very reason we're here, trying to pass deals like this. So, I really hope that everything goes well, and I do like Senator Willicowski, you know, stating, you know, tailoring it to certain limitations. I think that would be good as well. And I say it also because I am a Army wife of a veteran that is still active duty, three combat tours, 17 years in, and I really don't want to ever see this happen with us or with him. So I'm hoping that we can get this going and get it all situated, and I'm hoping that even the veterans that I work with, every day I have new ones that come in and, you know, start finding jobs. That would be great. So basically, I will give any support I can, and my organization will as well.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony today.
Yeah.
We don't have anybody else signed up to testify, so I'll go ahead and close the public hearing portion, come back to bill's sponsor, and Senator Willicowski, give me a brief synopsis of how this bill would treat the wounded warrior, if there's any differentiation there with that, or if there was consideration given or not given. Or
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is, in this bill, there is no differentiation. It provides a straight $2,000 tax credit for any veteran, wounded or not.
Any other final questions, comments from the committee members? Final comments from the bill sponsor before we set this bill aside for further review?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. Next up, Senate Bill 158 by Senator Egan regarding real estate sales licenses. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. And with us today, we have Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I just stay here?
Sure.
Okay, great. Thank
you. Run off because there's only four of us.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my staff, Dana Owen, is in the audience as well. And with your permission, ask Mr. Owen to come forward.
If you get stuck, we can give you a lifeline. Okay. Just tell us what the bill does. We have faith in our committeemen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 158 aims to address several weaknesses in current law pertaining to real estate brokers. In conversations with friends of mine here in the Capitol, this issue came to light, and it also pertains to a greater degree in rural Alaska. The bill would allow the Real Estate Commission to appoint an overseer to temporarily manage a brokerage in the event a broker is unable to go for certain reasons, including a traumatic or medical event, having a license suspended, or upon an investigation finding that substantial evidence points to misappropriation of funds. This assures that trust accounts and other sensitive business affairs are handled responsibly by licensed individuals. The bill would also clarify that a licensed assistant can only work for the brokerage in which they are licensed. Ambiguity in current law has been interpreted to allow an assistant licensed in a brokerage firm to work in any other brokerage or in multiple brokerages. The intent of current law was to limit an assistant to one brokerage. SB 158 would allow a licensee to donate a portion of a commission to charity. It would also allow a licensee to advertise that some of their commission would be donated to a charity. They can't do that now. And I urge you to support this piece of legislation. Actually, it's a cleanup measure to the real estate brokerage and licensing statutes.
Okay. Do we have any initial questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Bill sponsor? Seeing none, we'll go on to the public hearing portion. We'll ask Errol Champion to come forward, please. He's the only one signed up in the room, and there's nobody online signed up yet. Mr. Champion, should we champion this bill or not?
Good morning, Senator Stedman and members of the committee. I'm really here to answer questions. I think it was very clearly explained by Senator Egan. Let me just tell you who I am. I'm Errol Champion here in Juneau. I'm president of the Southeast Alaska Board of Realtors and also a member and a director in the Alaska Association of Realtors. And we've requested this legislation be adopted to help clarify current statute.
There was recently here, last summer, I think there was some issues in one of the brokerage firms in Southeast with their trust funds and questions as far as the appropriateness of the use. Is that one of the issues that brought this to light? Or
Senator Stedman, that is correct. This broker was found to misappropriate or misuse the trust fund, and there was no one that the Real Estate Commission could designate to monitor that fund, and they had to ask the person that was charged to execute the close down of it. So you kind of had the person with their fingers in the cookie dough still there.
And then if you could address maybe the issue of the charitable contributions, why that's in the bill? Do you have any ideas on that?
Senator Stedman and members of the committee, it's always been of of concern of the real estate commission and the public that the trust funds and the disbursements of commissions and fees and earnings be carefully monitored. And so there was a restriction on a broker allowing a licensee to advertise that I'm going to donate my fees to the Girl Scouts when they help sell some property or something. This simply changes the statute to allow the designation and publicly say so, so that the public is aware that it's the intention of a licensee to do something with their commission other than just deposit it in their checking account. Previously, you could take the full commission, and once it was in the hand of the licensee, you could probably write the check out. But this gives the broker and the licensee a little more flexibility, and that the public is aware of what the relationship is all the way through the whole transaction.
Okay. We have any other questions for the bill, or Senator Egan?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And just one more comment. It has a zero fiscal note. It's more housekeeping than anything.
Are we sure about that? Any other questions? We have nobody else signed up, so. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing portion of the bill. We'll bring it back to the bill sponsor. We have any final comments from the bill sponsor before we set this aside?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing Senate Bill 158 and your promise in hearing the bill. I appreciate it.
Okay. We'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. We do have one zero fiscal note from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. We'll go ahead and set it aside and continue our process with this bill. That concludes the meeting today. The next meeting is tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., February 7th. I'll be here at 7, but you guys don't have to be. 9 a.m. for bills previously heard. So make sure your staff checks with Mr. Peterson from my staff on the bills that we're getting polished up to come back to the table, so everybody has the opportunity to, let us know what their thoughts are before the meeting starts. This meeting is adjourned.